Julia Cameron once said, "Creativity, like human life itself, begins in darkness." But what about those who are consumed by the darkness? What would they create?
And just a heads up, guys, this episode, definitely not safe for work. Potential trigger warning for abuse, sexual abuse, those kinds of things. Just giving y'all a heads up. Thank you for joining us. I'm Erin.
I'm Brooke.
And today we are visiting the topic of serial killer art with our special guest, Brittany Rodenbaugh. Hi. Am I pronouncing that right, girl?
Rodenbaugh.
I never know how to pronounce your last name.
That's right. Rodenbaugh.
It's sad. We've been friends for a very long time, but I've not pronounced your married name before.
Yeah, this
until
is true.
This moment, and I feel really dumb. Okay. But Brittany is a very special guest today. She is the content creator. Also, she has a YouTube channel called Brittany's Journey, which is really, really good.
Yeah, I love your channel.
Thanks.
I've watched it all the time.
Like, we've actually had conversations at this table about your channel.
Aw, that's so sweet.
So, the videos where you eat
mukbangs.
Yeah, I didn't know how to pronounce it.
Yeah. I love mukbangs. I normally just talk to kids all the time, so it's like I'm talking one-on-one with somebody else, even though they're not talking back at that moment.
And you actually have a spooky thing in one of your videos.
Yes, I do.
Do you remember that? Let's not give it away too much. I want people to actually watch it.
Yeah.
Yes, they need to go watch it. We'll link it somewhere.
Yes, definitely. We'll link it on our social media.
Yeah.
For sure. But what is it, before we get, into the actual topic at hand today, what is it about the kind of content that you make that draws you to it?
Well, whenever I was young, I would always watch Food Channel or Food Network, and I've always been attracted to the food side. And then some mukbangs, they cook the food in front of you, and then the other mukbangs, they just find the food or whatever they want, and it's just a huge variety that I'd never seen before. And it's Korean, that's where it's originally from, and I'm more into like Asian foods and cuisines and stuff, so it always fascinated me, and I always wanted to try my hand in it because I've seen so many people out there trying it and making a huge part of themselves, and it was really just me wanting to experiment more with something that nobody has done around here.
I love that.
No one has done
that.
And it's really entertaining.
It makes me so hungry when I'm
And it's even more interesting to me that you also have ventured out into doing ASMR videos.
Yes.
We talk about that all the time.
ASMR. My husband thinks it's really strange that I do ASMR, but I asked him one day for a new mic and everything that I could get to do ASMRs, and I was like, I have over 35,000 views on one ASMR video.
Really?
Awesome. Yeah,
oh, my God.
It's amazing.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So I was,
that's a lot.
I was very hooked.
It's funny though, because out of context, ASMR is really weird.
Yes, it is.
It's really weird. The first time I ever saw it, I was like, people enjoy this, why? But after I started to understand it.
I have used it to go to sleep before.
I've used it to calm me down
before. I had anxiety.
I'd never really been into it until I decided to do one, because I knew that it was booming at the time. And I was just really excited to be really quiet because I never get peace and quiet. So I put my kids to bed and I was like, okay, I'm going to do this.
That's like the one thing that would not wake your kids up.
Yeah. I'm going to be really quiet and film. And it was probably my favorite type of filming.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You like it better than the...
I like it better than mukbangs. Because, I mean, I still do an ASMR mukbang, but I like it because I know I always do it when my kids are asleep.
Yeah.
That's the only time I get free time to myself, so I'd rather do an ASMR than a regular, because I know I won't wake them up.
Yeah.
Mom life.
Well, it is interesting, though. I love watching them. The only thing I can't stand is the whispering.
No.
I'm not a fan of whispers. A lot of people love it, though.
I like whispers on some of them, like if at the beginning, but I don't like it through the entire video.
Okay, so now that we're all established on what ASMR is... Which, I'll say it again, go subscribe to Brittany's channel. If you don't know what ASMR is, she will educate you and you will love it, I promise. Yes. Or you'll be really annoyed and she'll get a view anyway.
Yeah, one view,
So today we're going to talk about serial killers
but only really just the artists. The serial killers who happened to be artists.
Which, surprisingly, are lots of them.
I know. Yeah. It's really, really crazy.
When I looked it up, it was like a gigantic list.
Yeah. It was hard to choose who we really wanted to focus on because there's actually a lot of it.
Yeah. Did you guys also notice when you were kind of doing research on this that a lot of the art is the same? Did you notice that? A lot of their art
The topics?
Yeah, like the topics and kind of the styles even.
Yeah.
The colors they use.
Yeah. I wonder if some of that's been limited to, like, their experience or if it's limited to, like, the media that they could get a hold of.
It's probably the media.
Yeah, I would say the media.
But it was interesting nonetheless.
Yeah.
I didn't put that together until just now.
Yeah. A lot of it was so similar, like, all the different ones, like, if I hadn't really sat down and read about it, I wouldn't have known the difference and who did it.
It's something that I noticed, that the biggest overwhelming majority was either very childish, cartoonish, garish art, or dark and sexual.
Yes.
Or both. I've seen somewhere it was cartoony and sexual.
Yeah,
and
like, I saw that.
Which is creepy.
Like, I guess that's just how their minds work.
They're psychopaths.
Literally.
So, we all kind of, like, researched and picked some different ones to talk about.
Whoever spoke to us, whatever that means.
Well, I don't know if Otis really spoke to me, but maybe at some point. No.
But, maybe a past life.
Yeah, maybe a past life. He was a strange fella, lightly. He just kind of, like, pictures you see of him, mug shots and stuff, is just real strange, like, and he had lots of gay lovers. But he also had, you know, he was also had sex with females. He killed a lot of females. And he had Henry Lee Lucas, who Brittany's going to talk about next, was one of his major gay lovers. He claimed at first that he accompanied him in 108 different murders. But then went back later and was like, I didn't do it. I just signed the paper and said I did, which, I mean, come on. You know he didn't, but whatever. But anyway, he's not really got, like, a super interesting story, but his artwork is very just surreal. It's really childlike. He uses, some of them are just like pencil or pen, just basic number two pencil or whatever. He does a lot of faces, like a lot of real crazy faces. And usually they have like wild hair. When he does use color, it's very colorful. I know there was some I was looking at earlier and it had like 666 written on it. And he cuts off like a lot of arms and heads and has like a lot of axes in the top of the heads and stuff like that. So
fantasy.
Yes, basically. It's really interesting.
It is.
See that.
His work is really interesting, like, just interesting looking. Even if it wasn't serial killer art, it would be interesting looking. But to me, it makes me think of whenever, you know, like, if a parent gets concerned about a child's artwork.
Yes.
That's what it looks like to me. A child that might be disturbed.
If somebody's drawn that, there's something wrong with them.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it would look like. Like, something your kid would draw and it would just be totally out there. You'd be like, we need a psychologist.
It is really, like the word I used before, garish. Just even though he's using these vibrant, beautiful colors, the subject matter is completely contradicting.
It's real harsh too. Like the way he does it, the way he draws, it's real harsh and it's not good. I mean, idea of what is pleasant, obviously, but it's just, I don't know, it's interesting. It's really interesting. And a lot of the other people that I saw, too, had a lot of stuff like that, like these weird, like, axes and knives and just crazy, crazy stuff.
A lot of times as artists, we draw our inner selves and we draw our fantasy self. And in the case of a serial killer, you're going to get some crazy stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Visually.
Henry Lee Lucas, that's the one that I picked, was his self-reflection. Yeah, his lover. he drew I don't even know if it was painting, but it looked like really hard colored pencils. That's what I looked like. But it was a reflection of what he thought he looked like on the inside. And he had sharp, pointy teeth and blood, and his eyes were, like, all black except for, like, he had red pupils, and it was... If you see yourself like that, you need to go somewhere.
You see yourself really as a monster.
Yeah, you're disturbing.
Well, he was a monster.
Yes.
At least he was self-aware, huh?
Yeah, at least he knew. But his first kill was actually his mother, because his mother beat him so bad when he was younger.
Yeah. I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually kind of a common thing, too, isn't it, with serial killers?
They usually, have something going on with their mother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's always something with the mother. I don't know what...
With men. Yeah. Which most serial killers are men.
There's other circumstances, you know, with mental illness and stuff like that. But there's always some catalyst. And it's so often the mother. It's so strange.
Well, he was born when his mother was 50. So that could also...
Ah, I didn't know that.
Christ. His mom was 50.
She was halfway through life.
Yeah. Yeah, and he did also some other artwork. It was just like a disembodied head. He did one of, it looked like someone that had been dead for a long time, and he had maggots coming out of his eyes. It was really, really disturbing.
I've seen, you know, what's interesting is I've seen a lot of artwork that's real weird like that, like dark art.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about next time, but I've seen a lot of artwork like that by just normal people that just like stuff like that. But this is different. This kind of stuff that they do, it's the way that they draw it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, or paint it or whatever. It's different. You can see it different.
I feel like that's what he was drawing, something that he had seen.
Yeah. Definitely. Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. It looks like, you know, they have this terrible emotion and they're just scribbling it out. A lot of it is how it is.
Yeah. He said that he had killed, he said in the thousands, but really whenever he came back later on in the years, he said that wasn't true. It was just, it was still a lot. He was only convicted for 11 of them. So.
Oddly enough, I can really hardcore relate to this. This subject matter, because I never thought much about, you know, the subject matter that I chose to draw, especially as a young, angsty teenager. I never thought that my subject matter had any reflection on me.
Oh, it does.
And as as a young person coming into, you know, I guess my darkness. I don't. This is not the episode.
Air is so bubbly on the outside, but so dark on the inside.
This is not the episode to come out as a weirdo to this extent, but I guess we're doing this. There was a point when I was younger in high school. Brooke knew me then.
Yeah.
I had sketchbooks upon sketchbooks of really just dark, dark stuff, and my family was concerned. You may have. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Did you?
Yeah.
I didn't share all of it.
You were the artist.
I shared some, but some of my subject matter was pretty dark. And I thought that was just because, hey, that's cool. That's cool. I'm going to draw that. Or whatever came to mind. And my family got very concerned.
Well, you can imagine, though.
Yeah.
You would, too.
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
I would be concerned.
Yeah.
But at that time, I was just like, I'm just drawing, you know. There's nothing wrong. But, you know, now that I've grown into an adult and I realize what you create is a reflection of yourself, I look back and think, I did that because of this.
Yeah.
And it all makes sense now.
I'm not that kind of artist. I don't draw. I'm not artistically inclined when it comes to drawing. But I've noticed that whenever I make shirts or make decals or whatever, I've go toward more like the spiritual outlook, the ones that I really feel with, instead of making like, oh, all these people like this one thing, something nice and pretty and flowery, and I'm like, eh, that's not my style.
Yeah.
That's not
She just proved our point that every artist, no matter what, struggles with commissions.
That's so true. It is so true. I've got so much commission work I need to get on.
Me too.
But sometimes it just feels like soulless work.
Yeah. It is soulless. It is sucks the freaking soul right out of you.
And if I just can't stand it. All I did as an artist, if all I ever did was commission work, I would not do it.
I wouldn't either. I'd quit.
I couldn't do it.
That's why I wanted to do the collaboration with people about them drawing what they wanted and me making it into a decal, because I felt that.
That was awesome.
Mixed yes.
Aaron did some. Words.
Yep, she did two of them.
Britt. I wanted to, but I stay
sleepy. Britt put it out there that she wanted to do this project, just for our listeners who may not know us personally, that she wanted to promote local artists and make decals of their art. And I've done two so far, and you've had some other artists to do some really, really cool ones.
I love the, was it Witch's Brew?
Witch's Brew, and like that a coffee one. Cup.
And yeah. The big weird fingernails.
Yeah, like a zombie hand.
So
yeah.
Good.
Yeah. And I love Aaron's. Renate.
Which is oddly enough, we're like, you know, swirly and pretty.
Yeah. So you either do like very just brilliantly beautiful, pretty,
like powdery. Feminine.
Yes. Stuff.
Or like super like gothic dark.
Yeah.
One of the other. There's no in between for you.
I don't know what that says about me. Well, Brooke, on the other hand, your work is very free. When you're doing what you want to do,
yeah,
it's very free. And I think that is retrospective of you.
You think so?
I do. I think you're a free spirit and it comes through in your work.
Oh, yeah, I love your work.
Thank you very much.
And I think the same comes through for Britt. Like, even though you don't create the same kind of art that we create, your videos, your personality,
editing. Free. Yeah.
Yes.
That's perfect. Why I love you. If you make anything, I mean, especially with, like, YouTube videos or anything like that, you have to be personable.
Yeah, I'd rather you put your full self into something than just see, like, a side of somebody and just trying to be happy for a part of it.
Yeah.
When you're really not fully
there. That's what draws people to you or anyone that's successful in that field.
I like to be myself and relatable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even though you may not see yourself as a traditional artist, it's like our good friend Wazzy said, our guest from Namaste Weird. Mm-hmm. He was like, editing is amazing because you can paint with video.
Oh, yeah. That's
and you really
true.
Do.
Yeah.
So if you ever like start to doubt yourself as a creative artist, you are an artist
I'll
with what you're
mind.
Doing. But yeah, we've been sweet and cute for too long. Let's get into the darkness. So I want to talk about this guy named Daniel Rowling, otherwise known as the Gainesville Ripper. It's, you know, pleasant. Lovely name. So he was considered a serial killer. He was a very short-lived killing spree, from what I understand, which was with like 4 to 5 days on a college campus. He just, you know, started killing girls and mutilating them.
How many did he kill?
I think five. Yeah, five wow. female students.
Where was this at?
Gainesville, Florida. Oh,
okay.
It was a 4-day period in 1990. Girls start,
in 90?
Yeah, in 1990.
Wow. Oh, wow.
So, you know, he wasn't put to death. He was put to death in 2006.
I don't feel like I remember hearing about this.
I don't either.
Gosh, we were like children when violent things were happening.
You're in 90? I wasn't even born.
No.
What? When were you born?
91.
Spring chicken over here. Well, we were class of 06.
Yeah.
That's when they were killing this guy.
I'm 30. I'm proud.
But I found his work to be incredibly interesting. And, you know, I don't want to spend too much time focusing on the awful things that these people did. We're here to talk about the art and the psychology behind it. His work on the, you know, on the, gosh, it's powerful in a way. Because he was actually a skilled artist.
Really?
Yeah, but it had a cartoonish
like all of them.
Element to it. It did, but it was deeply misogynistic. And I came across a video on YouTube, and I don't know how legit this one is, but it was someone proudly displaying a painting he did that he bought, saying this is super rare. He didn't do many oils because it was an oil painting. He didn't do very many oils, just like it was like a Picasso.
Wow.
Painting. And just really analyzing everything about it. And there's like a wizard casting out, and it's called 13 Drops of Blood. And there's like 13.
I've seen that.
Red orbs. Yeah. And then just a naked lady, just fully presented in the front. And.
Wonder why 13?
I don't know. I don't know what the significance is. But there's a huge market.
Maybe it was just caught too soon.
That's what I was talking earlier. Somebody said something about who would want that, those things. Because I was saying you can buy Otis's
Yeah,
artwork for like $500 and $600.
You can.
And people will buy them. I said, well, people love that stuff.
Yeah, they do.
They do. I don't think that I would want that hanging in my house.
I would feel like it was a little cursed. Yeah. Bringing that mojo with it.
Like, part of me really enjoys seeing it.
I think I would.
I'm a little on the fence about owning it, but I don't think that...
I would like to view it, but not bring it into my home.
I don't think that the people that I live with would be too happy about me bringing it into regular art. But I found his work to be really interesting because he explored... lots of different subjects. He did like motorcycles and skulls and like fantasy, like wizards and stuff. But there was always some very sexual overtone there, and it was not played down at all. It was very here.
He was very blunt about it. Yeah.
There's always something sexual in almost all murders or whatever. It's always related back to that somehow. Yeah.
Charles Manson, all I know really about him is that he was a cult leader. And he was put in jail for murder, but he didn't technically murder anybody. He just had his followers, the Manson family, kill them all. There was 9 deaths due to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at some of his artwork, and it was mostly like scribbles, and you could see some things drawn, and it was like he colored them out with a ton of, like, I don't know if it was colored pencils or if it was paint or anything, but I saw it all scribbled out like it was what he was thinking in his head, like nope, that's not right, that's not right,
yeah,
let's mark this out.
That's a lot of his stuff's like that.
Yeah,
he used paint a lot too.
His stuff seemed a lot more abstract than anyone else we've talked about.
It was a lot more abstract.
Yeah,
he had like swastikas and some of his stuff too.
He even had one of that in between his eyes. Yeah, he had a tattoo of that.
Imagine that.
You know, he's married in prison.
Yeah.
So yeah. Bizarre.
Yeah, that is so crazy.
What kind of woman would marry Charles Manson?
He was there for the spotlight, I think, mostly.
He had a vision of like an uprising that he referred to as Helter Skelter, and was actually a musician. Actually had people, you
his
know.
His music's not that bad.
Yeah, I like it, kind of.
And, you know, major groups recorded songs he wrote. That's kind of terrifying in a way, because he had enough charisma to talk these girls into doing these murders in his name, and had plans for many, many, many more before he was caught. There were many more celebrities to be.
Well, you don't kill a pregnant, famous woman and expect to get away with it.
Yeah.
I don't know why they thought they could continue. I think it was a delusion of sorts. That
he was definitely delusional.
That he was narcissistic.
And the girls were really delusional.
He was very good with his words, though. He could anybody into anything.
When you have a narcissist on your hand, they can manipulate or make anyone believe anything.
And they think the rules don't apply to them. So I'm sure he thought he was untouchable.
Yeah.
While he was doing this.
No, the rules do not apply.
I watched a documentary of him, and he was saying that him and God are best friends because he created God. So no wonder he
Charlie was a crazy guy.
He wanted to be in the spotlight as much as possible.
Yeah.
And it's not him technically doing it, so.
Right. But, I mean, it just all just comes back to, you know, what kind of stuff was going on with him. He was a narcissist, a megalomaniac, all this stuff.
Did you know that at the end, after he died, he wanted them to put his ashes and blood into a painting?
Really?
Yes.
I did not know that, but that's very interesting.
Yes.
I thought they needed to put him in the trash can.
That is really interesting.
Yeah. I thought that was wild.
One of the world's most well-known actual killers, who actually physically committed the crimes, John Wayne Gacy. Infamous killer.
Super artist, too. He did tons of artwork.
Yes, old pogo.
Lots of artwork. Look at old pogo, the clown. He was a party clown and a murderer. No wonder people are
scared
of clowns.
That is,
that's the scariest.
That's probably why people are so scared of clowns.
Yeah. Have you ever seen photos of him in his pogo outfit?
Who would have hired him?
Yeah.
Well, he went against, I saw someone in a doc one time talking about how the way he chose to paint his face was not anything remotely close to what a clown usually does. They choose soft lines, round lines. He chose angular, scary lines for his face paint.
enough to creep someone out, especially kids.
Oh my God, I don't know. But he got work.
Yeah.
This guy got work. I don't know. To have been like a parent or something that was like last minute, like, I can't find Cleo. They called John Wayne Gacy.
But he was different than most of the people we've talked about because he targeted young men.
Yeah.
Young men. But his work, especially, is what makes him different to me, especially of anyone we've talked about today, because it's very...
It looks different.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Than the rest of them.
Yes.
It's very just solid.
Yeah.
Solid colors, bold lines, a little juvenile.
Yeah. Yeah, very, I would think. Because didn't he do the Seven Dwarves at a baseball field or something?
He did lots of Seven Dwarves paintings, and I don't That's know what creepy. The significance yeah. is there.
Maybe he was just obsessed with Snow White.
Clowns and the Seven Dwarves. Yeah. I don't know. But he did a lot of that.
Wonder what the obsession with the clowns was.
I don't know.
I mean, what did that... Maybe it was a young thing.
Yeah. Molly gets something...
The youthfulness in it or something.
Something to do with his childhood, I guess. I don't know. Been. Maybe one of our listeners will know if you do feel sin. Here's the thing that I find the most interesting about Gacy is... After his death, a group of family members, of his victims, gathered and burned his artwork.
Oh, wow.
In front of a crowd of people.
And it had to have been satisfying.
Yeah. You know it had to be. And he's a controversial subject because there was actually an art show of his work. It's been years back, and I couldn't find a lot of information on the actual show, but it did happen. And I think there's probably why there's not a lot of information out about it, because it was controversial and people were mad.
So did they do that? Did he have pieces burned before that showing?
Yeah. Or? Wow. Yeah, it was, I mean, it's been a few years back. I think it was in like 2011.
Oh, okay.
I think.
That's not that far back.
Not terribly. Not really. But in an internet age, that's
yeah
it's old that's news. True. But I mean, there was really literally only one article that I could find talking about it. And you know, I get it. People are very offended by that.
Well, imagine someone you love or whatever being the victim, one of his victims.
Yeah.
And then they're exploiting that by
celebrating it almost.
Celebrating a killer's murderer's artwork. That's not right.
Mm-mm.
What do you think, Britt?
I would definitely be on the side of the burning all the artwork. I would be very satisfied by that because I know that was something that he poured his heart into, and that was your loved one, so.
He should not have any praise for anything he's done.
No.
I agree. I do agree. I am very compelled to look at the art.
Yeah, just because you want to know.
Because you're an artist. I mean, of course, I'm compelled to look at it in terms of not really even being an artist, just because it's interesting to see what makes people do the things that they do, because he was such a bad person.
Yeah.
And what happened to him? What made him that way? It's bizarre. And sometimes you can see that in artwork.
Sometimes it's like a train wreck. You just can't look away. You want to see what happens.
That's very true.
But actually having it in a gallery and, like, advertising it and it being, like,
yeah, there should be no profit from
there should be nothing like that. No, I disagree with that. I would have been mad, too.
How do you girls feel about what they call murderabilia? Like we were talking about earlier, where people actually,
collect. That they own.
Yeah, they buy and collect all these things that belong to or were made by serial killers.
I don't think that the serial killer should get the profit. But I can see why some people would want that, just to be like, did you know that I had this, just to show it off?
Yeah.
And this was from so-and-so. This was from Gacy. And that's just its only thing.
Everybody has something they like that's weird.
But, yeah.
I mean, there's something a little bit going on with you.
Yeah.
You like stuff like that.
Thanks, Brooke.
I mean, there is. There has to be some kind of dark corner in your mind to want that. In your home.
Yeah. I agree with that. But at this, you know, whether or not you want to own it, if I'm not even considering that part of it, I want to know where the money goes. Mm-hmm. If I were going to buy something like that, if I wanted it, I need to know where that, who is profiting off of that.
I wouldn't want the serial killer, it would go toward anything toward them.
Yeah. And which a lot of them are already dead. Yeah. And that's why they're so expensive, mm-hmm. because, you know, supply and demand.
But people love that. They love bizarre, dark, very bad things.
It's true. Yes.
People have dark sides. Everybody.
Everyone does. Don't let them lie to you.
They do. Agreed.
Even cute little Brittany over here.
Oh, hush.
Okay, so we're doing something a little bit different for the month of October. We're going to cover all horror content, but in each episode, we are going to feature a classic horror icon. And today, it is only fitting to talk about everyone's favorite classical music loving cannibal, Hannibal Lecter.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
A genius.
Mm-hmm. Scarily. Very fine line between genius and insanity.
Yeah.
Perfect example. Famously portrayed by Anthony Hopkins and more recently Mads Mikkelsen. Am I even saying that right?
Well, yeah.
The guy who played him on the show.
What show? I didn't get to
watch. They did a Hannibal show, a television show. Oh, so good. It's so good. It's the darkest vision I've ever seen on television. That's why it was short lived. People couldn't handle it.
Really?
It's very good.
Was it based well, you off would know events? That better.
Well, Hannibal Lecter, he's kind of based off of, you know, other stuff, but he is a fictional character.
Yeah.
Created by Thomas Harris in his novels. The show, I mean, the show was a totally different portrayal.
Really?
How was it? It was younger. It was younger.
Mm.
It was when he was still a therapist. And it's just, it's such a dark telling of the story. And Mikkelsen, he was in Star Wars.
I think that's right, because I've heard that name said before.
Yeah. He was in one of the Star Wars movies recently. He was in Rogue One. He's the very, he's Danish. He's very handsome. He gives you really strange feelings about Hannibal Lecter. I'm not gonna lie. But more famously, Anthony Hopkins played him. And that's what everyone knows.
So well.
He really did.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not gonna say that the other guy's portrayal is better. It's very different. You have to separate them.
Yeah.
But so
that'll be something that I'll have to watch later because I've already binge watched all the movies just in the past 2 days.
Oh, I just love them so much. I've seen these movies though.
You have?
I have. I've seen them all. Believe it. Many times. When I do watch a movie, I watch it again.
Well, we know that.
Let's talk about why Hannibal Lecter is so scary. What is it about a character like this?
I think it's because he's so intelligent and he's wiser than you.
Well, he already knows how to get into your head because he's a therapist.
Yes.
That's the even most terrifying part.
Yeah. And then he knows how to work you to get what he wants
done. He knows how to manipulate anyone.
He's very good at that.
That's scary because feeling like you're in control is safe, and that makes you feel safe just as a human. But when you have, you know, this serial killer psycho who is a trained psychiatrist, a trained therapist, I mean, that is, you don't hear that. That's not, usually a serial killer that you would see is just some crazy person that has sexually abused or, you know, just this bizarre human. But with him, he was bizarre, but he was very intelligent.
Yeah.
So he knew how to do what he wanted to do.
And you have a fresh perspective on it because you binge-watched.
Yes, I just binge-watched. It shocked me how well that he can get things done. Well, in the movie, he did it while he was in the jail cell.
Yeah. Underground.
Yeah, underground, behind a glass wall. How would he get someone to kill his other person, like the person right beside him in a different jail cell?
That was insane.
That is crazy.
Yeah. That's like Manson on a whole nother level.
Yeah.
It really is. That's what I always found fascinating about the character is that he could sit with you, converse with you, talk about art and beauty and music, and then kill and eat you.
Yeah. Yes. You don't even have to be dead. He'd just grab you and eat you.
Like, found that one kind of piece of his own brain.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
In Hannibal. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, Charles Manson, the difference between them is he was a narcissist. He was manipulative. You don't have to be smart to be a narcissist. He was not very smart, I mean, true. In my opinion.
He got caught really quickly.
He yes. got caught fast. He manipulated really dumb girls.
But yeah. had to have been quite a bit of them to be able to kill that many people so quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like a commune.
Yeah. I mean. But there's a lot of really stupid people. Just dumb people. That dumb as a box of rocks. Would just literally, like, follow and believe anything.
Think you can actually Jedi say. Mind trick them into doing what
literally,
you want.
Literally, like, I could be that manipulative to those kind of people. I mean, let's be honest.
They thought they were changing the world.
They actually did.
In a negative sense.
those girls, don't they, like, come up ever so often for parole, and they really, really, really try. To
yeah.
get out.
They never are never do. Getting out of prison.
Oh, gosh.
They're stuck.
But Hannibal was different. He was a narcissist. He was manipulative.
Oh, yeah.
But he was very intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I think that he could manipulate in a better way and get away with a lot of stuff that mm-hmm. he done.
He knew before he did it how to get out of it.
Yes.
Yeah, he always
he
had
saw everything
mm-hmm.
in advance.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's it. Killers are scary, and they make scary art, and Hannibal Lecter was a crazy genius.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Britt.
Thank you.
Everyone, make sure you go and subscribe to her YouTube channel, like, right now.
Yes, now.
It is a really good YouTube channel. Thank I love you. It.
Brittany's Journey.
Yes, Brittany's Journey. And if you look on Instagram, it's spelled Brittany's Journey is JOURNI.
Okay. Yeah, thanks for pointing that out because I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have. But Brittany also does vinyl stickers. She does t-shirts. She does an excellent job. She's done plenty of stuff for us here at Weird Appalachia. We highly recommend her.
Thank you.
So if you're interested in purchasing anything from Brittany, find her on Instagram.
Yes, at Brittany's Journey with J O U R.
Remember that, folks.
Yeah. It's very important information. It's vital. But be sure to subscribe for relaxing ASMR and fun mukbang videos while you're there. Find and subscribe to the Weird Appalachia channel. We're there too. We don't have as many followers as Brittany, but we're there.
How many followers do you have, Brittany?
I almost have 500.
That's very good.
It's beginner.
I don't think we even have 10.
I'm one.
I don't even know how many
we have. I'm a subscriber.
Yes! And for the month of October, we are doing strictly horror content, so subscribe to the podcast, or we will get you. Stay weird.